Welcome to Corgi Confident. My name's Alyssa. I am the self-proclaimed Corgi Queen. Let's talk corgis. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome, Corgi Confident listeners. Hope you guys had a great weekend. This is going to be Maslow Monday, where I update you on all of Maslow's training updates from the past week. And he's been doing great. He's honestly been doing great. This is probably one of my favorite segments that I do just because I get to talk about him and his progress, which isn't always easy to do on our social media platforms. But I do wish he was doing worse so that I could tell you how I'm training him to be better. But he's been doing great, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I just wish I could tell you guys things that I was doing to improve some of his behaviors. So yeah, good news, bad news kind of situation, you know? So the first sport that I am going to start off with is going to be barn hunt. I believe I had mentioned in our previous Maslow Mondays that he is just doing his short sessions. So they've been really, really short in between every dog or every other dog. He just goes in for like a minute, maybe 2 minutes, you know. He just gets his short sessions. Well, the other dogs are finding like 4 or 5 rats. Like he just has his one for his little 1 minute session. And so I have noticed that he's been more interested in trying to find more rats after he finds his one. So what we have been doing is we'll bring him in and he'll go to the starting area, also known as the start box. It's just kind of this little foam square on the ground. And you just have to start in that area, the start box. So he had been just finding rats that were just a few feet away from the start box. And so he didn't really have to try very hard. They would just kind of be right there. And it would just be an easy find for him just to give him that instant gratification. And so he was doing really well with that. And he has been doing really well with that. He's definitely the kind of dog, we were making it easy because he's the kind of dog where he would get frustrated if he couldn't find the rat quickly enough. He would just kind of get frustrated and give up and was just kind of done. So we wanted to give him something that was kind of easy to build up the motivation and just show him that it can be a fun sport again. Because he was doing fantastic a couple months ago, like January, February, he was doing amazing, finding like 5 rats or whatever. And he strives off of consistency. It's my fault. I wasn't getting him in there consistently enough. And so he just kind of lost that. But now I am starting to see that motivation come back. I am starting to see that enjoyment come back. Because the reason we do sports, me and Maslow, the reason we do sports is to have fun. If he doesn't have fun with a sport, then I'm not going to make him continue it. So I can see him having fun with it again. And that's such an amazing joy to see. Like, it's so amazing to see your dog have fun, right? That's why we do everything we do for our dogs is for their betterment, for their enjoyment. So to see him have fun again is just indescribable. Like, I can't even describe the words and how happy I am with him and how happy I am for him to be having fun and to enjoy the sport again, you know? So I have noticed after he finds his one easy rat that's usually like right next to the start box, he'll find his rat, and what we've been doing is he'll find it, and then he really loves anything that's active. So he'll find his rat, and then I'll run over, and I'll go get his reward. And he loves that running part. We do the, you know, he finds it, he scratches at it, and it's like, yay, good boy. And then we run and we go get his reward and he just has so much fun with it. He loves that running aspect. And so the rewards are just on the other side of the, I want to say fence, but it's just like a little PVC fence. Like, it's not like an intense thing. It just makes it so it's an enclosed area. So it'll just be on like the other side of the fence there. So I can literally reach over and grab his reward. So we'll run over and then I grab his reward and he just gets so excited and he has so much fun with it. And we have made it a lot more fun for him. And so after we run over and get his reward, I've noticed him actually running out again to see if he can find more. And so I can tell that he's having more interest in the sport because he's going out and he's trying to find more. He's like actually actively looking around trying to find more and he doesn't want to leave. So again, he's been enjoying it again, and it's just such a pleasure to see. And I wanted to talk a little bit about how I can tell that he's actually searching to find more versus distracted sniffing. So his sniffing for searching for rats is different than his distracted sniffing. So when he's searching for rats, he will air sniff a lot more. So that means he just kind of lifts his head up and he's just kind of sniffing the air, almost like he's trying to pick up a scent. He's trying to pick up the trail. And when he is searching, he is like actively moving himself around the area to try and find these rats. He's sniffing all over the place. He's jumping. He's sniffing corners and everything. And he is actively moving himself on. When he is distracted sniffing, he is on like the side of a straw bale and he's sniffing the corner. And he'll sit there for like 30 seconds and just sniff that corner. So obviously he's not really hunting necessarily with that. He's just there sniffing. Or sometimes he'll be in like the middle of the area where there is obviously no rat. It is flat ground. There are no bales around and he's just like sniffing there. So that is what distracted sniffing looks like for him. And the searching is him like actually actively moving around. He's just sniffing and moving a lot faster. Or he's doing that air sniffing, trying to see if he can pick up on a rat trail. So he's doing a lot more of the actual searching for the rat, because barn hunt is all about sniffing. Remember that. It's all about smelling it. It's not visual, it's scent. So he's doing fantastic with that. I definitely think doing the short sessions with the instant gratification has helped him. In general, when you get your dog motivated for something, then they're going to want to do it more. So that's one of the things that I've noticed has increased his motivation for this particular sport. The next sport we are going to talk about is agility. Now, we did have slight issues on this one. So I guess there's some problem things I can talk about, right? That's what I want. Be careful what you wish for. So for agility, he usually gets about three sessions in, like three little turns in. And so the first turn, I like to make it nice and easy for him just to kind of warm his brain up a little bit. So we did just a really easy jump to a curved tunnel. And so curved, like almost U-shaped tunnel, not completely U-shaped, but anyways. So he did a real easy jump to the tunnel and then he got his reward. And then jump, tunnel, reward. And we just did that a couple times. Again, I just like, he does well with that kind of easy instant gratification, like let me ease you into this kind of a process. That's just something that really helps warm him up and gets him ready to go for whatever we are working on that day, no matter what sport. That's just something that just works really, really well for him. And so he has done really well. He did really well with that one. For his next turn, we worked on some A-frame work. So we did an A-frame A-frame send, essentially. So if you don't know what the A-frame is, it's literally shaped like a letter A. They have to go up and then down. Okay, and we do have to add a little bar at the end. Essentially, he has to go under the bar because he does have a tendency to jump off the A-frame. So it's just something to reinforce the fact that he has to go all the way down to the bottom. So it's not like it's a low bar that he has to go on under, but it just discourages them from jumping off of it and just completing the obstacle in its entirety. And so he had done really well with that. And so then at the end, we added a jump for him. And so he would do the A-frame to a jump, and he was doing great. He was doing absolutely fantastic with that. The problem came when we would go the other direction. So we went one way up and down the A-frame to a jump, and he would do great. Then we would go the opposite way, up and down an A-frame to a different jump. And he did not do as well with that. And so he would go up and down the A-frame, jump, and then he would just take off into the tunnel right there. If I haven't mentioned it before, he loves tunnels. He loves it, loves it, loves it. So he, for his second turn, just wasn't really listening. Now, normally for him, I wouldn't do this, but because he wasn't listening, I just decided to put him away. Now, why do I say I normally don't do that? Normally for him, when he gets distracted like that, I make him do something just to get his brain so he doesn't learn when I do whatever I want, then this game ends. Because he likes to be in control, and usually I try to tell him, no, you are not in control. Your mother is in control. Your mother decides when this game ends, not you. But for this time, I decided to end it because he was actually in... This can sound so bad. I decided to end it because he was enjoying himself, right? He wasn't doing it because he was just running off and being distracted. He was doing it because he was having so much fun. So I decided to end the session without making him work one more time because he was having fun. And I wanted him to learn that we can have fun, but it has to be on my terms. And if you're not going to listen to me, then the fun is going to end. Right? He's a very particular little boy. So he took a break after that turn. It got cut a little short. And because he didn't do so great with that, I decided to do something a little bit easier on him. So we decided to do some teeter work. And I say this one's easier because he's not doing multiple obstacles. He's just working one obstacle and there's a reward at the end. And it's actually pretty easy for his brain. There's not the chance of him running off and getting distracted. So it is pretty easy for him and it can still give him some success. Because I always like to end our classes on a successful note. Just to make it like a good experience. So we worked some teeter. He doesn't have a problem with the full-size teeter necessarily. Like he will still do it, but he's not the biggest fan of the noise and that much of a drop. He will do it. He is not enthusiastic about it. So we've been working more on that enthusiasm with him. So we didn't use the big boy teeter, but we didn't use the little kid teeter either. We used like the middle school teeter. So it was the same length of a normal standard competition grade teeter, but it was smaller in height. So it wasn't as big of a drop or as loud of a noise. And he did great with that. So we used some squeeze cheese for him on like a little plastic lid, maybe like about as big as the palm of my hand, like just a little lid. And it goes at the base of the teeter. So the lid is at the base of the teeter with a little bit of the squeeze cheese on there. And I tell him, teeter. And he goes on there and I'm like, get it, get it, get it. Like, go get your treat. Go get it. Or something like that. He looked at me as I said that. He's like, what? What am I getting? So I tell him to do that just to try to make it fun for him as well. And the reason for the plastic lid being at the end is because I want to make sure he has four paws on the teeter so the teeter is all the way down and so he does not jump off. And so he has been doing really well with that. I was so happy that he liked the squeeze cheese. He is such a picky boy. So we were looking for something that is rewarding for him, but isn't going to like fly off when the teeter hits the ground, right? So he's been doing really, really well with that. We've also been working on him staying there until release, so I'll tell him teeter. And I'm not telling him to stay. I am just hoping that he expects to stay. That's what the little lid with the treat is for. And I am working on him staying there. Once I see that he's finished, then I'll tell him break, which is his release word, and he has to come running to me. And I am trying to do it where he is down with all four paws, like, on the teeter. And I start kind of, like, lightly jogging away. It's more of a walk, but, like, in a running motion, you know? And he's doing really, really well with that. Like, I'm adding in motion there where he goes there. He goes all the way. And I'm still continuing on while he's getting his treat. And he's doing really, really well. Again, just further reinforcing that you stay there until I tell you otherwise. There was actually a time that he wasn't finished with his cheese and I told him break and he actually still came to me. So I was really, really impressed with him for that one. Just in general, I'm surprised that he left that cheese there and still came running my way. So we started off a little rocky, but you know, my smart boy got his brain back together and we were still able to end on a good note. So not super huge progress in agility, but still some progress. You know, he's still doing well. Your dog's not always going to be perfect every week, right? Some days they're going to have just off days, and that's just going to happen. Like, training is not a straight line. It's a roller coaster, you know? So that was agility. Very, very proud of his progress there, even though it was slightly irritating. But he still did well. The next sport we are going to talk about is flyball. So we did our warm-ups per usual. I'm not going to list them because I have them in the previous Maslow Monday episodes. We always start off with those warm-ups. This time, he did struggle with this one, actually. Lexi also does flyball with us. I think I've mentioned that last episode, but just a heads up, Lexi also does flyball with us. And so for this one, this was really hard for their little brains. There was a dog that did the full flyball course, and with the full, like, the handler was doing basically what she would do at an actual competition, at an actual trial. And so she was, like, yelling and screaming. Maybe not screaming, but she was, like, yelling, getting her dog amped up and all that stuff. So this was very, very hard for Maslow and Lexi. Not only does the running trigger their herding instinct and they just want to go run and chase that dog, there was all the, like, go, 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 go. Like, that just, like, amped them up. And, of course, with them being together, they set each other off a lot. So the goal was for this dog to run this course and you do whatever you can to keep your dog distracted because your dog is going to be running the course next to another dog running the course. So it's like, can they focus with a dog running the course next to them? And my dogs could not. They would just keep setting each other off. Lexi would bark, and then Maslow would suddenly turn around and bark, and then Lexi would be like, wait, what are you barking at? And Maslow would be like, I don't know, what are you barking at? And then they just kind of start barking. So they didn't do so well with that. They've done really well with that in the past. So I don't know what it was about that day that they just said, I can't do it. Brain mentally checked out, can't do it. So the next thing we worked on, they did better from there. They definitely did better from there. The next thing we had worked on was the restrained recalls with jumps. And so he was doing okay. He has done the full four jumps in the past. I don't know why, but lately he's just like not really doing it, which is weird. So for this one, his first turn, he jumped the first one. Like, he went over the first jump and then he went around the other three. And so that was kind of irritating. So we just had him do two jumps which was easy for him. He just did two jumps, and he did fine with that. And he actually, so what I do is I usually run around him, and then I have a toy, and I drag the toys over the jumps, and after I pass the second jump, then I call him over to me. And then he gets released. And so he did really, really good with that. And he actually tugged on the toy. Sometimes he's not super toy motivated, but today he was toy motivated. He did amazing, absolutely amazing. And so we did that a couple times for him. And he actually tugged on the toy. He did so good. He was so, so good. I was actually very surprised, and I was prepared to have to bring out, you know, the big guns, the high value treats. He does also have a tendency to run off in that sport as well. Every sport he does, he has a tendency to run off. And it has nothing to do with, like, he doesn't enjoy the sport or he needs better focus. And it has everything to do with him trying to figure out what he can get away with. Because that's who he is. He's like, what can I get away with? And so a lot of it is, you know, being like, no, you can't get away with that. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. You can't get away with that. That's not the rules. But he's slowly getting over that. He's actually getting a lot better. And even when he does run off and get distracted, I can get him back relatively easily. So he's doing a lot better with that. And so the next thing we worked on, this is the part that gets me the most excited. I was so proud of him. Last week we were working on our box turns, and he was at the correct angle for a standard fly ball box, which was amazing. So this time, however, we went down to a lower angle, and that is because we started adding a ball into our box turns like he was actually going to do fly ball. And so they don't use the actual fly ball box when you're teaching this. We still use our practice box, and it's a lower we used a board at a lower angle, and the ball, instead of being into the actual mechanism, and when they slam on it, it gets released. The ball for this one is Velcroed. So it kind of creates that same thing of like they have to jump on it and grab the ball, but it's not a triggered system. Basically when they, in fly ball, when they jump on the box, then the ball gets, it triggers the ball to be released and they have to catch it and run. So this one isn't like that. It's just a ball Velcroed on there. So he still has to do his swimmer's turn, grab the ball, and run. And he still uses the bumper for that as well. So the bumper is just to make sure he gets all four paws up there. And so I put him in a stay. The ball was attached to the Velcro. And I like kind of like touched the ball a little bit, like just a little bit. I was like, you know, like tapped in. I was like, ooh, see this? Do you see this? Do you see this? Right? Just to like let him know. I'm like, ooh, look at that there. That looks fun. And then I stood next to the box, and I just waited for him to look at the ball. And then I released him and said, like, get it, get it, get it. And he ran up. He did a swimmer's turn. He touched the ball. And then he ran my direction. So what I do is I send him to the ball and then I run away. Opposite direction. You know, away from the box. And so he went and like touched the ball and then like did a swimmer's turn, touched the ball, and then ran back towards me. So it wasn't bad. He interacted with the ball. That wasn't bad at all. For the second run, he did his swimmer's turn. He pulled the ball off the Velcro. But he didn't run with it, but he pulled the ball off the Velcro, which is still great, still a good job. And then for the third run, he jumped on, he had done his swimmer's turn, he pulled the ball off the Velcro, and he carried it about like 10 or 15 feet to me. Probably honestly more like 20, I'm horrible at distance. But the point is, he grabbed the ball and he carried it with him to me, and his swimmer's turn still looked beautiful. He grabbed the ball. He brought it over. Like, it was perfection. He was amazing. And we ended it at that moment. We ended it right there. Because it was just so good. And we were just doing short little box sessions for each dog. So he did so, so, so good with that. If you want to see a video of it, it is up on our Instagram Reels and on our TikTok. Oh, I was so happy with him. Like, I love it. We're just that much closer to being able to do actual fly ball. It was amazing, amazing to see. All right, so next up is an obedience update. That isn't really an obedience update. Maybe it's more of a life update, but I super duper enjoyed this part, so I wanted to share. After fly ball, that was our 6 weeks, and so we are taking a 2 week break. So after that fly ball session, we sat down and we got to play a game. There's about, let me count, one, two, three, four, like five people in my class. Five people, six dogs, because that's not right. Five people, five dogs. And the people is including my instructor, by the way. So we got to play a game there, and it's called My Dog Can Do That. And it's from like 1996 or something like that, and it's a board game. I want to buy it for myself. I had so much fun. It's a board game, and so you roll the dice, and you move that many pieces, and then there's three different sets of cards: beginner, intermediate, and advanced. And you pick a card based on whichever one you want to do, and whichever card you do, like if you do it well with your dog, like if you complete the task with your dog, then you get to move forward that many spaces. So it's a board game, a training board game that you play with your dog, which is why I want to buy it. It very much seems like it's from 1996. I want to redo the cards, but it was so much fun, guys, so much. And so, yeah, like I said, you pick up like a beginner card and it'll tell you a behavior to do with your dog. And you pick up an intermediate card and it'll tell you like a behavior to do with your dog, and then an advanced behavior to do with your dog. It did end up being more obedience-based versus trick dog-based. I was hoping for more trick dog-based, but ended up being more obedience. Not necessarily a bad thing, but it was still a lot of fun. And the only thing he couldn't do, which I was so surprised by this, the only thing he couldn't do was an advanced one, but I don't remember, honestly. They were kind of categorized weird. That's why I'm like, I think it was advanced, but I also feel like I was confused and was like, why is this beginner? But I might be confusing that with something else. But anyways, so what you had to do was put your dog in a stay, and then you would place treats, like one treat down every foot, and you walk away 10 feet. So there's like 10 treats in front of them. And then you would call them to you. And they are supposed to ignore the treats. So I didn't use treats. I used kibble because I was like, oh, Maslow's not motivated by kibble. He won't do this. And that little turd face, I called him to me. He had put him in a stay and I said, come. And he ate literally every treat. I didn't even go like directly in front of him. I went off to the side. I like cheated a little bit. And I said, come. And he still like released himself to go eat all the treats. Like, what a turd. I even used kibble because I was like, he's not motivated by kibble. He won't eat it. And here he is like proving me wrong and eating all the kibble. He's looking at me right now too. And he's like, can you please stop talking crap about me, mom? Like, I need you to, he's giving me such bad side eye. He's so mad at me for talking crap about him, apparently. But anyways, so that was our only obedience thing for this week. But I want to buy that board. I want to buy that game, but I want to update the cards on it for sure. And we were all talking and we were like, oh, we should do this every time we have a flyball session that ends, because it was just so much fun. But we're all dog trainers. We're all dog people. So I don't know. Please let me know if this game sounds fun to you. Like, please let me know if I'm a crazy person or not, because I wish they had had an updated version of this game because I think it would be so much fun. But again, my flyball class, we're like basically all dog trainers. We're all crazy dog people who love like just training our dogs. So we may be crazy, and maybe that's why it's a very, maybe it was just a very select audience for this game, and maybe that's why they stopped making it. But it was a lot of fun. Let me know if I'm the only one that thinks that it's a fun game and they need to make it again, though. Or make something similar. Or email me if you know if there's a game similar to this, because it was just so much fun, guys. Like, I can't even describe. But anyways, that has been your Maslow Monday update. I would give him like an 7 out of 10 for this week, because most of the time he did do good, but he did have some stumbles along the way. And like I said, training is not a straight line, right? It's not going to be just a linear progress of just upwards, right? I wish it was. No, it's going to be up and down and all over the place, and you're going to hit bumps in the road, but you're still progressing forward, right? Like, the point is he had a lot of fun with his sports this week, and he did make some progress, and that's all that matters. So I hope you enjoyed listening to Maslow's progress for this week, and we will see you guys next week, and hopefully he's doing even better next week, all right? You guys have a good Monday. Corgi Confident is for educational purposes only. Please contact a vet, trainer, groomer, or other pet professional in your area for help. Want more Corgi content? Make sure to follow Maslow the Trick Corgi on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And if you have a question, you can email us at corgiconfidentpodcast@gmail.com. This is the Corgi Queen, signing off.